Right now at 7, new reaction coming into our newsroom on the body camera video showing what led to the taser death of a man in RPD custody.
Big rain moving in for our big Super Bowl weekend. When the drizzle starts and when the downpours begin, I'll walk you through the new timing.
And this one is for those non-football people out there who still want to get into the big game. We've got you covered with all the Super Bowl basics to get you caught up.
Today, Raleigh police released new body camera video from the night a man died in their custody. And tonight we're hearing from a law enforcement expert about the footage and new reaction to whether officers violated any policy. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Darrell Williams was killed after officers used a taser on him three times. His family is calling for all Raleigh police officers involved to be fired.
WREL's Aaron Thomas is live now after watching the body camera footage with a law enforcement expert. Aaron?
Yeah, here were the key takeaways from this former police officer, now defense attorney, after watching that video. He says, based on what he saw, it doesn't appear that any of the officers with the police department here violated any policy, and they properly used their tasers, but it's unfortunate that Mr. Williams lost his life in the manner in which he did. We do want to warn you, what you're about to see may be difficult to watch. The situation starts with two officers walking up to a car Darrell Williams was in, asking him to get out.
What's going on?
Walk over here.
Officers tell him to put his hands on top of the car. An officer searches his pockets. Police say they were trying to place Williams into custody for suspected drug violation. Williams then breaks away from officers and runs away.
When you watch that, it's just so unfortunate that it ended in his death.
Defense attorney and former officer Lee Turner spoke with me about the actions of Williams and Raleigh police officers on the night leading up to his death. Once officers caught up to Williams, they give him a warning.
Put your hands behind your back.
Before using their taser on him.
Typically, they're trained to put it into a muscular area where it's going to be felt, but it's not a dangerous area. It's on his back, which is where that's typically their target area.
In one of the videos, Williams cries out that he has a heart condition. He's on the ground for close to 5 minutes, surrounded by officers. He's motionless after being shocked three times. Officers gave him CPR for several minutes, but he was pronounced dead at a hospital an hour later. Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin releasing this statement tonight following release of the videos. Like everyone else, I am seeing this video for the first time. Anytime we have a loss of life, it's upsetting and disturbing. The city of Raleigh is committed to provide a safe and healthy community. As you know, this is under investigation by the SBI, and there is also an internal investigation taking place within the Raleigh Police, and they, along with the district attorney, will determine the next steps. Now, all six officers involved in the situation are on administrative leave while an ongoing investigation is underway. It's up to the district attorney to determine if any charges will be filed. Deborah?
Aaron Thomas, live in Raleigh. Thank you, Aaron.
Got a little bit of rain this morning. It made the rounds. A warm day today. Another one. We are expecting some more rain this weekend. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WREL Severe Weather Center with what we should expect.
And you can see all the rain that's on the way this weekend. We've got more upper level energy moving in, and that's going to drive up rain chances. So make sure you've got the umbrella with you, but you will not need it all day, every day. It comes in a wave of rain. Looking at the radar tonight, we have a few spotty showers in Cumberland County, Hoke County, and Sampson County. That's where we have the best chance for rain tonight, mainly south and east of the triangle. But the widespread rain moves in late tomorrow. So let's start future cast here. Saturday morning, 8 a.m., a small 20% chance for rain for most of us. It's dry throughout the day tomorrow. As we move toward dinner time, we begin to see some showers filling in closer to Charlotte, Fayetteville, near the South Carolina line. These showers spread north, and so after dinner, we may see a few showers around the triangle. The radar becomes much more active by midnight, though, and we see rounds of heavy rain possible overnight into early Sunday morning. Sunday, we're waking up to a soaker. We expect widespread rain, perhaps some heavy rain, and then winter weather to our west, closer to the mountains. I'll have a more in-depth look at the timeline for rain for Super Bowl Sunday coming up.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Kat.
Legislative leaders want the North Carolina Supreme Court to take another look at a multi-million dollar lawsuit about funding public education. State Senate Leader Phil Berger and House Speaker Tim Moore filed paperwork asking the court to re-examine the Leandro case. Last year's ruling, made by a Democratic majority on the court, orders the state to spend more than $500 million related to the long-running lawsuit. Republican lawmakers say that ruling includes, quote, numerous unresolved questions regarding the proper interpretation of our state constitution. The court's balance shifted after the November elections.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center. Some breaking news from the Roanoke Rapids Police Department. It all started with a missing persons case and now turned into a murder investigation. I want to show you on the screen right now two different photos. The woman on the left, this is Quamisha Branch. She's the victim of this case. Her body was found dead. And the man on the right, that is a 27-year-old Marquette Douglas of the Garysburg area. Investigators have taken out a murder warrant against him in connection to her death. They are searching for him this evening. If you have any idea about the whereabouts of the man on the right side of your screen, you are asked to call police right away. The circumstances surrounding this death are still unknown. The motive still unclear. It appears the victim died from a gunshot wound, according to police.
Mark, thank you. Just within the past 2 weeks or so, several schools in multiple parts of our viewing area have been put on lockdown for threats. As we continue to look for answers, Person County school officials say they're taking a proactive approach to this seemingly growing problem. WREL's Destiny Patterson shows us what they're doing.
Here at Person County, students and visitors already have to go through these metal detectors periodically. But school officials tell me that pretty soon, security will get more accurate and efficient once they install new weapon detectors.
If there is a possible threat, the software will identify the area that needs to be searched and make the search quicker and less invasive.
Last Thursday, the Person County School District voted unanimously in favor of new weapon detectors in all of its secondary schools, Southern Middle, Northern Middle, and Person High School.
Traditionally, the secondary schools are where these unfortunate events occur. Person High School is the only school in the district where all of our kids will attend.
In the first month and a half of 2023, Education Week reports six school shootings across the country that resulted in injuries or deaths.
We took a proactive measure to give our administrators the tools they need to ensure that our campuses are safe, not only for our students, but for our staff members as well.
To cover the cost of the more than $400,000 price tag, Dr. Ron Anthony says the district is using the state's Safer Schools grant. He said less than $50,000 will come from local funding. Dr. Anthony tells me that he hopes to have the detectors in place and implemented before June. Destiny Patterson, WREL News, Person County.
We want you to know Monday at 5 o'clock, WREL investigates this growing type of weapons detection technology, how it's different than the metal detectors you're used to seeing, and who else is using it locally.
Layoffs continue to sweep across the U.S. economy, and some North Carolina workers are facing job cuts. Just today, Yahoo announced a 20% cut in its workforce across the country. Earlier this week, other companies like Zoom, Disney, and Dell announced similar cuts. WREL's Brett Neese is live in RTP with a look at how layoffs are affecting companies and people here in the Triangle. Brett?
Yeah, Deborah, economists tell me that these layoffs are a reality check for a number of tech companies who overhired during the pandemic. Now they face pressures to make profits with a possible recession at the end of the year.
Just about every day since early December, Patrick Pruitt has entered his home office to sit in front of his computer and fill out job applications.
I'm on LinkedIn, of course. I'm on ZipRecruiter. I'm on Indeed. I'm on Upload? There's so many now, I've been lost track.
Pruitt was laid off from his tech job on December 1st, something he never saw coming.
Was it a surprise?
Yeah, a complete total surprise. They kept it quiet even from my direct boss.
The meeting where Pruitt found out his job had been cut, it didn't last long.
Even though it was maybe 10 minutes long, you know, you start questioning your worth as a employee, you know, what you're doing, am I in a correct career path?
Pruitt is not alone. Since June of 2022, over 200,000 people have been laid off in the tech industry, over 100,000 in 2023 alone, according to layoffs.fyi. But while larger companies slash jobs at record pace, demand for the skills these workers have remains steady. In some instances, it's even increasing, according to economists.
And maybe not in the tech sector, but outside of the tech sector, people are saying, look, we need these skills.
Recruiters tell me they're seeing the same thing. I spoke with Josh Heyman at Vaco, whose firm recruits people to work for a variety of companies, including private businesses.
In that sector, we're seeing the demand be just as high, if not higher.
Which is why Heyman says if you are laid off, there are options.
Many of those people who have been restructured out, you know, our first question is, are you open to project work? Are you open to consulting? Because that might allow us to drop them in at a company where they might get exposure to a new industry, a new system, build their network.
Another company that announced layoffs this week is VinFast, but the electric car maker says that those cuts will not affect the new North Carolina plant. Deborah?
Brett Neese reporting live at RTP. Thanks, Brett. Governor Roy Cooper spent part of today talking infrastructure and fiscal policy at the White House. President Biden and Vice President Harris met with the National Governors Association winter meeting. Cabinet secretaries and senior advisors also joined the meeting. The group called for a bipartisan solution to address the debt ceiling and other fiscal reforms. Tomorrow's session features a discussion on youth mental health with the U.S. Surgeon General.
Well, here we go. It's Super Bowl weekend, just days away from the Super Bowl. Taking a live look in Arizona right now. But what if you just don't know anything about anything when it comes to the game? You're not a big football fan. Well, don't worry. Chris Lee's coming up, and he's going to have everything you need to know to at least make it seem like you've been following along all season. That's next. Plus, it's going to be a busy weekend in general here in the Triangle. Got a look at some of the family-friendly activities you could take advantage of next.
North Carolina faces a child care crisis. Wait lists of more than a year, skyrocketing monthly costs for parents. We dig into how it got to this point, how it's impacting people who don't have kids, and why state leaders may have to step in. Watch On the Record Saturday at 7 p.m.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
All right. Place your bets. You got Chiefs. You got you can't bet here in North Carolina, can you? Yeah. We are getting closer to the big game, though. Super Bowl 57 is this Sunday.
Everyone likes to act at least like they're excited, yeah, even if they're not really during the game. So we want to help out people who maybe want to seem like they know a little more than they actually do. So WRAL's Chris Lee is here now. Chris, you and I know a lot about football. Mm-hmm. Dan is one of these people that just makes it very well. Exactly. No, I'm just kidding. But give us a few basics on, you know, what helps us to know if people just don't know much about football.
Well, if you have, your phones, you can take out into some notes or maybe a pen at home if you do it the old school way. But this is going to be an interesting matchup because it's going to be the first time two brothers are going against each other in the Super Bowl as players. Now, 10 years ago, you may remember John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh went against each other as brothers who were coaches.
Right, yeah.
It was the 49ers versus the Ravens. But two players, Travis Kelce versus Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce is with the Eagles. He's a center. And then Travis Kelce, he's a tight end. He's with the Chiefs.
Two
so
big
their
boys.
Their mom is going to have a split jersey.
Donna Kelce. How hard is that?
She's going to be happy either way.
Right.
But both have already won a Super Bowl individually, but this will be
pretty
the first
strong
time that two brothers to face each other.
Little bragging rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sort of thing. So, you got any way, like, who are you pulling for? Like, if somebody says, who do you think's going to win, what are we talking about?
Well, one of the things you can look at is just maybe what's going to happen, and of course, on the field, right? So the 49ers, they've had a wonderful season, but both teams have scored the exact same amount of points this season. So they are like neck and neck. They are even. And this is also the first time that two black quarterbacks have gone against each other. You have Jalen Hurts from the Eagles, and you have Patrick Mahomes from the Chiefs. So that's something that's interesting right there. You can also bring up maybe some of their past. Jalen Hurts, back in the 2017 season, was leading Alabama versus Georgia in the national championship. Gets pulled at halftime for Tua Tagovailoa, who's had the issues with the concussions this year. Alabama goes on to win a national championship. He gets his job taken away, ends up transferring out. So this will be the first time that he'll get a chance to actually win a championship and complete the game.
Yeah,
so hopefully
he
gets a chance to complete the
game. Now, we have seen such amazing playoff games, except for maybe the 49ers last game because they had so many injuries.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to win, and will this be a good game?
I think this will be a really good game, and I think that this is honestly a toss-up. I think that the Eagles have a little bit more to offer, but I also feel like the Chiefs still have a lot more to play for. This is something for Patrick Mahomes. He could do something that nobody has ever done before. If the Chiefs win this one, Patrick Mahomes will become the first ever player to have two Super Bowls and two MVPs in his sixth season.
That's amazing.
So only 6 years of playing, and usually it takes a lot longer than that to get that those many accolades, but he's very close in getting that. So
what is he, 20 what?
He's 20. Probably only like 26,
so young,
27,
right?
Yeah. You know, if that. So like he has his whole life ahead of him,
yeah.
And he could possibly maybe even catch up to Brady.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Also the Andy Reid factor. That's kind of cool because he used to coach for the Eagles and now he's coaching for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. And I should have mentioned this before. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
He actually drafted both Kelce brothers. He drafted Jason Kelce when he was with the Eagles.
That's fine.
Came to the Chiefs. He drafted his brother, Travis Kelce, with the Chiefs. So
there's
a lot of connections here in this game.
And we have Joshua Williams, too, from around here that I think I'll be cheering for from the Chiefs.
Went to Jack Britt High School in Fayetteville, and so he's playing with the Chiefs. Made a big play in their last game against the Bengals.
Oh, that was huge.
Maybe he'll be there to make some big plays against the Philadelphia Eagles.
This was an effective segment. I like this. I feel smarter now. I feel better.
Go back, write down some notes, and you know, when you go to Gerald's holiday party, you know, you can do it.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to check the tape. Chris Lee, thank you so much.
Well, we're asking you what you think and who you think will win the Super Bowl, and here's a look at the latest result. People are thinking Philadelphia Eagles will win 44%. The Chiefs will win by 56%. Yes. So more people are thinking that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win than the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
Okay.
This poll is active. You can go to WRL.com/yourvoice.
Let us know what you think. Coverage starts on Fox 50 at 11 a.m. Kickoff for the Super Bowl at 6:30. I know you'll be sitting at home watching it, especially because it's going to be so rainy outside.
Yeah. Kat, let's look at the forecast.
It looks great in Arizona. That's the good news. That's what counts. You want them to be able to play in the good weather. You don't want them to be playing in the pouring rain. I mean, it's Arizona, 72 degrees. You got to remember with the time change, the peak of the warmth there, partly cloudy skies. Here at home, you're right. It's just perfect. Stay inside, watch the Super Bowl kind of weather. 42 degrees with the rain. It's going to be chilly out there. And your weekend isn't a washout entirely. That's the good news. Sunday features more rain than Saturday. Saturday during the day, it'll be mostly cloudy, but we are expecting the rain to move in Saturday night. That's the round of rain that'll last into Sunday. It'll be even cooler with the rain on Sunday. Lows in the 30s, highs only in the 40s. Rain chances very high through lunchtime. And then we should see some breaking up of the rain during the afternoon and evening hours. So it isn't likely to be as soaking by the time we get to the Super Bowl as, you know, what it will be like early on Sunday morning. Let's take a look at futurecast, though, for your weekend. This evening, we have the potential for some rain, mainly in the southern part of our viewing area. We have been watching those showers moving in on the radar. It's not heavy rain. It's not a lot of rain, but just a heads up. It is looking at least less than what we were thinking initially yesterday. Most of the rain tonight is east of us toward the coast and the coastal plain. Tomorrow morning, just a 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, it's a quiet day throughout the day on the radar. But by dinner time tomorrow evening, we begin to see some showers moving into the southern part of the viewing area, and those showers continue to spread north. So a lot of rain on the radar at midnight, and the heaviest rain falling tomorrow night into Sunday morning. Sunday morning, you see the yellows, the oranges, the reds. Those are some pockets of heavy rain as you're waking up Sunday. And off to the west in the mountains, they have a mix of rain and snow. Some pretty heavy snow bands will be possible throughout the day on Sunday for them. For us, chilly rain in the forecast. Lunchtime, some showers around. And then during the evening, we may see this kind of last batch of rain pushing through. At this point, it doesn't look quite as heavy, but there should still be some rain around for the Super Bowl. Luckily, I think the worst driving conditions will be over by then. And Dick's Park in downtown Raleigh tonight, it is quiet. They have the daffodils in bloom out there. It was our third day in the 70s. We are tracking some rain moving in from the southwest. I mentioned this off of the top of the newscast. Just some light rain, and that's mainly south and east of the triangle. So your Friday night planner in pretty good shape. 9 o'clock, 57 degrees by 11 o'clock, 55. And tomorrow, if you need to get out for your dog walk, You have plenty of dry hours to do that before the rain moves in tomorrow evening and tomorrow night. So we just want to stress it's not going to rain nonstop all weekend long. You can plan around the rain. Just be prepared Saturday night through the first half of Sunday for there to be widespread rain. Monday, the sun is back out. Temperatures rebounding into the lower 60s. Tuesday for Valentine's Day, dry weather expected. Temperatures in the mid-60s. Next week, Thursday and Friday, some rain in the forecast. Temperatures will be very warm, and we'll be watching that very closely with the NHL Stadium Series next weekend.
Hey.
The weather looks good Saturday, but Thursday and Friday, you know, as they're trying to get the ice ready, not the best conditions. So right, we'll need to keep an eye on that.
All right, Kat, you're a scientist. You crunch the numbers. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going for the Eagles, but I have a really great methodology. I like the color teal better, so that's my choice.
Okay, great.
Yeah. No, that's
a good way to go.
It was the color of my room growing up. I don't know. So that's what I'm going with.
That's as good as any other reason.
Go Birds.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kat. Live music and a chance for your family to celebrate Valentine's Day together. Coming up, your best bets for going out and about this weekend. Live music and a family-friendly scavenger hunt are all coming up this weekend.
That sounds fun. Let's take a look at some of your best out-and-about options. For one, let's talk about music. They've broken attendance records across the country, and now you can see the group Widespread Panic in Durham. The band is going to be playing at the Durham Performing Arts Center tonight. And tomorrow night, there's also a free pre-show block party outside of the venue both nights. By the way, the lead guitarist of Widespread Panic, Jimmy Herring, is a Fayetteville native, which is cool. He's, man, made it a long way.
Oh, yeah. Well, in Raleigh, the North Carolina Symphony will be celebrating the Beatles with special performances tonight and Saturday at the Mamandy Concert Hall. They will play all your favorites, including Get Back, Here Comes the Sun, and Hey Jude. The show will also feature rare and unseen photos from the band.
We got Valentine's Day next week. A lot of people celebrating over the weekend. Families can celebrate on Saturday with a Valentine's Day scavenger hunt, and guests will meet at Sir Walter Raleigh, the statue at the Raleigh Convention Center. Teams will take their treasure map and use their minds and feet to follow some clues, solve some puzzles, and more.
That sounds so fun.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
See you at 10 and 11.
Local news doesn't stop here. Continue watching on all major streaming platforms with the WRAL app.